Support for Classical Music According to Yehuda comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, offering independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.Kendall.org. In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani continue their conversation about female composers, focusing on Clara Schumann.
Unlike Fanny Mendelssohn, whose social status kept her from publishing and having a career, a performing career, Clara Schumann, it was possible for Clara because she was born into a working class family. So fascinating. It worked in her favor not to be born into the aristocratic circles that limited women's activities. So she could pursue and did pursue both. Her father was had a business, renting music, renting pianos, repairing pianos. He also taught voice and piano. And I think he published a book on voice lessons. When she was five, her parents divorced, and Mr. Vick, her father, won the custody of Clara. And he was determined to make her a star pianist. He was her teacher. He was her manager. He planned every step of her development. So she's 11 and she already plays a debut in Germany. She dazzles audiences in Paris at age 12. It was a glorious career. It lasted 60 years.
60, yeah.
She dominated the stage in Europe. She was considered one of the great pianists of the time.
And she made a lot of money doing this, didn't she?
She did. At the beginning, father did, of course.
Father got it, but then father
passes. And then eventually she was the one, yeah.
And she also helped support Schumann, didn't she?
Yeah. So here he enters the picture.
And he's sort of...
He had been a student of Mr. Vick.
I see.
And he actually lived in their house for a while. Uh-huh. He was 10 years older than Clara, so she knew him as a child. And this was a very brotherly kind of sweet friendship when it started. And, of course, it blossomed into a passionate love. Father Vick opposed the marriage fiercely.
And he wasn't wrong.
No, because, that's the point.
Because Schumann turns out to be a bit of a...
If you look at it as a father, as a parent... Yeah. I mean, I would be very concerned if my daughter at age 16 was about to get married to a person who was mentally unstable.
Could the father see he was mentally unstable then, do you think?
The father knew he was unstable. Yeah, of course. And also, she was a teenager and she was a superstar.
Sure.
And Schumann was completely unknown at the time, in addition to all his frailty, emotionally, physically, whatever.
But he, of course, was a great composer as opposed to a performer.
Right. Fighting the father legally, there was a big legal battle.
I remember.
And they won it.
I saw the
movie. Get married. And then she, of course, concertizes. She cares for her husband, who is quite needy. She has 8 children while doing all this, concertizing, and he has a mental collapse. He was interned into an insane asylum where he dies 2.5 years later. And she continues for years later. So her life was not, you know, it was a life of triumph, but it was also a life of tragedy.
Absolutely.
One child died in infancy. 3 children died in adulthood. A surviving son was in mental hospital for more than 40 years. So Schumann had something genetic. You know, Schumann's sister committed suicide. Schumann himself knew that he was losing it. He writes some very moving letters. What happens when you start losing your mind? It's very touching, very, very disturbing. So she supported children, she supported grandchildren by her earnings. Students sought her from all over the world. They came to work with her. And she also introduced Strobert's music to Europe because unlike Chopin, Brahms, he was not a pianist. And he wrote mostly piano music and she was his advocate. She also, now we come to the story of Brahms, she also advanced Brahms' career.
And there was love there.
And this is really such a unique story. It's worth telling it. Brahms was 20 when he arrived in Dusseldorf and he knocked on the doors of the Schumanns with a knapsack of manuscripts. And Clara, at that point, was the wife. She was not only the wife of Germany's great composer, Robert, but also the mother of his seven children at that point, only seven, and a world-famous pianist. At 34, she was still a slender young woman of unconventional beauty and strength. He fell in love with her, and it affected the course of his entire life and his music. In a letter to his friend, Joachim, a great violinist, following this fateful visit, he writes, "I believe I do not have more concern and admiration for her than I love her and am under her spell. I often have to restrain myself forcibly from just quietly putting my arm around her, and even, I don't know, it seems to me so natural that she could not misunderstand. I think I can no longer love an unmarried girl. At least I have quite forgotten about them. They but promise heaven, while Clara shows it revealed to us." 5 months later, Schumann threw himself into the Rhine, a suicide attempt, and was committed to the mental institution, where he died 2 years later. The unique friendship between Johannes and Clara continued for 43 years. He never married and confided to her his hopes, his dreams, his fears, his doubts, but above all, his compositions. Each was a gift for her, written with her in mind. Even after becoming a world figure, he depended upon her approval and involvement, and of course performance when it came to piano music.
Were they lovers?
This remains a big, big question. People still argue about it. They destroyed a lot of letters.
That means they were. If they destroyed the letters,
they destroyed letters because they didn't want people poking in. I don't know. There's a letter that she writes to her children late in life, and she says, "People will be talking. People will be gossiping. I just want you to know that this was a unique friendship." But again, you don't know. Do you trust this letter?
Well, you can have a unique friendship and still have sex.
They went hiking together. Brahms moved in when Schumann went to the asylum and took care of her business, took care of the kids. It's very difficult to have an opinion.
Not for me.
They were very careful about destroying any evidence if there was anything going on. But she really was his muse and his music. We will never know what kind of music Brahms would have written if not for Clara Schumann.
So she has this relationship with two of the great composers.
Yes. Yes.
Previous times.
And on the day of her funeral, she died in 1898, very close to the 20th century, he told a friend, "I have buried today the only person I truly loved." And he followed her in death 11 months later. So it's really a unique story in the history of music, and whatever spin you put on it, whether they did it or not, is really immaterial when it comes to what they left us with, which is great, great heritage, great music. So, in addition to all that, she was, of course, after Schumann died, she was in charge of compiling his music for publication, but she wrote her own music, beautiful music. So, I would like us to hear one movement from her trio, Opus 17, and Schumann, who was deeply in love with her, quotes her music in his.
Interesting.
As a gesture of love. So a theme or a motif from Clara's pieces appears all of a sudden in his works. Thank you.
the second movement of Clara Schumann's Piano Trio in G minor, Opus 17. Before that, Alan Chartok speaking with cellist Yehuda Hanani. To learn about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.